we have at this point one confirmed case of coronavirus, COVID-19. It was an imported case, and the person has recovered. It was an Australian citizen, and he left the country. So at this point in country, we have no confirmed cases as such, but the government has taken very seriously the threat and has, since a week, called for state of emergency, set up the National Emergency Operations Center, and is ramping up its preparedness ability to respond. So I would say that there is definitely a sense of immediateness and a sense of urgency, and that is very much because of an acknowledgement of its national weak public health systems. So the government wants to make sure that it's ready to deal with an eventual outbreak.
And in terms of the UN team, looking at some of the challenges that may happen if there are more cases, what would some of those be in Papua New Guinea?
We've activated right away since late February the humanitarian clusters, with the lead being taken, of course, by the health cluster. Under the lead of WHO, we've been providing lead technical assistance to the Department of Health, but we've broadened the support beyond just the health approach. And we have, of course, water and sanitation as the co-primary cluster in support of government, and then a number of other supporting clusters to support the preparation and preparedness and beefing up capacity to be able to respond to an eventual outbreak. We have supported, and we are supporting, the government by providing expertise not only in the public health space with WHO, but in supply and logistics, information management, risk communication, and communication with communities. And we have embedded this capacity within the National Emergency Center. So we have a team of people that are working hand in hand with government counterparts within the structure that has been put in place by the government. Also, development partners have and are relying on the UN as the primary agencies for provision of supplies and procurement. UNICEF and UNOPS have been taking up the bulk of the work on this. We have already some 34 tents that have been coming in the country. We have the first ones that have been installed here in the capital city, in Port Moresby. We've just opened yesterday the first triage, isolation, and then quarantine wards. And we have tents that have been set up as pre-triage facilities in six different clinical sites in Port Moresby. And we have some 26 more tents that are going to be deployed to Leh from Leh to 10 provinces that have been prioritized. We're also leaning on the procurement of PPEs in large numbers.
What are they? They're the
The
masks.
masks, the gowns, the glasses, you name it, over 1 million of them. And we've already procured 30 ventilators through UNDP and UNICEF. This country needs 60 at this point. I think there are only three available in country, so 30 already procured in the pipeline on the way here. And then UNOPS is going to be procuring isolation wards and medical equipment to be shipped in, hopefully within the next 2 weeks. All of this is funded through resources provided by the government of Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and a concessional loan from the World Bank to the government of Papua New Guinea, but there's going to be vehicles through UNICEF and UNOPS. And then there's a massive component around risk communications, and UNICEF is on the lead on that with the support of the rest of the UNCG.
Does the geographical nature of Papua New Guinea make it difficult?
Well, on one side it makes it difficult in the sense that, as we have experienced at the time of the earthquake in 2018, and then the polio outbreak later that year and in 2019, reaching remote communities is complex, expensive, and is a logistic nightmare. But on the other side, on the positive side, the remoteness and the lack of developed infrastructure also means that communities are quite separate one from the other. So it should, if there were to be an outbreak, be easier to contain the spread. And by the way, as part of the state of emergency, not only the country is in lockdown in the sense there are no communication, there's no flights bringing in any customers from abroad. Also, all communications within, air communications within the country have been discontinued. Flights are only moving cargo, not moving people.
And what about schools?
Schools have been closed, and they've been now closed for over a week.
And is the UN working with other member states to support Papua New Guinea?
Absolutely. Working with everyone because of the way the whole humanitarian architecture is built up. The UN leads in it, but it can't do it without the financial support of its partners. And it is through that financial support that we're in a position to actually keep on assisting the government. We have the largest at this point presence in country together with Australia. Many other partners have reduced quite substantially their presence in country. And we maintain at this point for sure the largest footprint around the country. So our role is important, is fundamental. The government is asking us to play that real lead role, and so is other development partners that rely on the UN as leading on health emergencies and humanitarian emergencies.
What would be the most important thing for you to say to the people listening in regards to the situation in Papua New Guinea?
Well, I will echo a message that I've already put forward, and again echo the message of the Secretary General very recently. It is a crisis that at this point has impacted mostly the large economies, the most developed countries. It starts to expand now to weaker economies. We are seeing the impact it's having among the G20 countries. Imagine what impact they would have in developing countries. Impact is if, and God forbid it happens, if there is an outbreak in countries like Papua New Guinea, that the impact could be devastating. It would very rapidly move from a health emergency to a humanitarian emergency. So the appeal here is to make sure that while developed countries invest heavily into managing their own crisis, they do not forget that if developing countries are affected, they will not have the capacity to cope with it alone, and therefore international solidarity is more than ever needed.